everyone, and welcome to Minute 66 of Season 7 of Movie Around Minute, the daily podcast where we yippee-ki-yay our way through the 1995 Bruce Willis action flick Die Hard with a Vengeance, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me today is DJ Valentine of Simplistic Reviews. Welcome back to the show, DJ.
How colorful. My favorite line in this movie. Not even in this segment, but I always love that.
Well, okay, fine. But still, why not? You know, can you do a Simon Gruber accent as well as a Hans Gruber?
Simon's, I know you're more a little bit more nasally. So Hans is always droning on a little bit. But Simon is kind of Jeremy Irons is tough because he's got a little gravelly to him. But I haven't studied it enough, like – when he talks to McClane on the phone, doing multiple accents in this movie, so it's hard to pin him down where Hans is just one. Though Hans is the American, don't kill me. But essentially, Simon is essentially just all over the place where you can't really pin him down. And then he's speaking in straight German. I'm trying to think of a line that he says other than how colorful. But he says, I'm trying to think of something really. You got to take the safety catch off first. I like that line too.
Yeah, and then like he takes a bite of an egg.
Yeah,
exactly.
Every time I eat a hard-boiled egg, it does pop in my brain where you got to take a safety catch off first.
Yes. Now, I mean, I believe
he's dead, my dear. Is another one. He has a lot of great lines in this movie.
Yes, I believe he's dead. We talked about 2 weeks ago. Right? So yeah,
I believe he's dead, my dear. He's like doing British there, and then he does German, and then he does German American, then he does American. He's all over the place.
Wait, so you're saying he's just inconsistent?
It's Jeremy Irons. He's a Swiss Army knife. So, rain from the skies is what always pops into my brain from Dungeons and Dragons. But he's one of the greatest Alfreds we've ever seen, and probably one of the worst comic movies ever. But he's always good. Jeremy Irons always brings it. He's kind of got like this Christopher Walken-y, I'm gonna show up no matter what happens. I'm gonna be, no matter what the material is, I'm gonna give 100% of me. It could be the dumbest movie you've ever heard of, and this is not the dumbest movie I've ever heard of. I love this film, but like I've seen him in crap and he's awesome. He's Scar for crying out loud. What are we talking about here?
That's true.
He's always prepared.
Be prepared, exactly. That's what I was gonna say. And I mean, the scar fits in with the Nazi theme also. So there you go.
Easy. I always go. I just go Hamlet. He's the uncle in Hamlet. That's what Scar is, kind of. So yes, I go that. The Nazi stuff with the marching hyenas. It's there. It's in your face. But I just choose.
You choose to ignore it.
I choose to ignore it because I'm like, oh no, come on, Lion King, what are you doing? Let me just think of Shakespeare. Come on. Let me just think of Shakespeare.
Right. Okay. I can definitely understand that thought about that. Mm-hmm. Definitely. All right. So minute 66 begins with a kid trying to justify his actions and ends with John giving Zeus a suggestion.
This is the most New York child you'll ever see in your history of maybe the history of cinema.
Probably. I mean, we talked about his whole movie career last week on Friday, but it's unbelievable. I mean, this is a kid who I think, if I remember correctly, he only has 11 IMDb credits, but every single one of them, he's like this New York gangster. And I think like in most of them, he's named Gino. Like he has the same name.
Because that accent is like, if you go, what's a New York accent? This is like the most stereotypical. You corrupt City Hall. It's like so over the top.
That's right.
It's like extra mustard New York accent. Like, you know, some people do a New York accent and they're kind of like, you know, dancing around it. No, there's no dancing around this one. This is a sledgehammer on your toe New York accent.
Exactly. I mean, it's great. I mean, again, Lisa was on Friday and she was so upset that she missed this line of "It's Christmas," you know, and she kept quoting it. And I said, "It's not your week." And she said, I don't care.
It's very good. It's very good.
Exactly. And just the way
all
he said it.
All the cops are up to something. You can rob City Hall.
That's right. That's right. So as you just quoted, so the kid starts by saying, you know, he's trying to explain why it's okay to steal because, you know, John was telling him, what, do you want to go to juvie for stealing a Butterfinger?
Watch your mouth.
He says, look around, man. All the cops are into something. It's Christmas.
So does he not know John McClane is a police officer? Does he not give a crap about any of this?
He doesn't care. That's what it comes down to. He doesn't care at all.
John is like, well, they're not all gone. I'm standing right here.
Right. And he can he can see John's his badge is in his undershirt, so you can't really see it. But you know,
maybe he can't see it. Okay, yeah.
That's right. But I see. For me, I love the line "It's Christmas" because you know that is a
that's
throwback.
The one die
that's
hard
a throwback to the back, to the first yeah. time, for the first Die Hard. You know where he says to Theo, he goes, "It's Christmas."
It's Christmas, Theo. It's a season of
Miracles. Miracles. Exactly.
So be of good cheer and call me when the fifth rock drops. No, but yeah, that's the Christmas thing. There's this is the. I mean, they have the one shot of Hans. I think it's later in this movie. I'm not sure.
No. We have a shot of no. That was two or three weeks
when they're in the
where we had him. Yeah, they're in the van
when they show. Right. So this is like one of the. Because this takes place in the summertime, this is the only Die Hard movie that takes place not during Christmas. You got to drop this line in here, so you got a little connection. Well, I appreciated that.
That's true. And what's great is that this week we'll actually understand even better when this movie takes place. I mean, throughout all the 65 episodes up until now, we've been trying to place when this takes place. You know, is this May? Is this June? Is it the middle of the summer? Is it immediately after the summer? I mean, there are a lot of inconsistencies. You know, in the first week when Jay was on, we were talking about the fact that there was a sign that said back to school sale. Okay, but in my mind, this movie always takes place
August. Yeah.
In my mind, this movie always takes place in like late May, early June. But I came to the realization through doing this that I probably think that because the movie came out Memorial Day weekend. You know, so that's why it gave me that idea.
There's an inconsistency. They're blowing up schools though.
So that's why it's not the summer.
So it must be May because the song is Hot Time Summer in the City in the beginning.
But it's not. And we're gonna get there later this week. You know, I'm gonna keep you in suspense also, just like everyone else. We actually find out even better when this takes place. I've been putting all the pieces together, and I'm starting to get an idea as to when this
is.
It's
a mystery.
That's right. What's it? It's a mystery wrapped up in an enigma, or a riddle wrapped up in an enigma, something like that.
So yeah, the thing about the kids saying there's a lot of layers to that because Die Hard is pretty much always predicated on a case, and the kid is robbing during a caper, having his own caper, mentioning Christmas. It's like an onion. It's a very bruised onion, but it's an onion.
It's a caper within a caper within a caper. That's what you're telling me.
it's a caper wrapped in an enigma, wrapped in a riddle.
Hey, why not? If it works. That doesn't bother me at all. No. I have no problem with that at all. Okay, so basically the kid says you could steal City Hall, all right? So what do you know about New York City Hall?
It's corrupt. Mayor Giuliani was around there sometimes, so again, underline corrupt.
Well, I'm talking about the building. I'm talking about the building itself.
Oh, okay, so that was a movie starring, I think, John Travolta, called City Hall.
No, you thinking John Travolta, it was Al Pacino.
John Cusack. What's it?
John Cusack. Yeah, John Cusack, Bridget Fonda, and Al Pacino.
I'm thinking of Civil Action or Civil something that he was.
Civil Action was John Travolta, but that was a court case about people dying from drinking contaminated water. You know,
what's the one where Mark Ruffalo did? Wasn't that was the Teflon pans?
No, that was a different one. That was, I can't think of that name right now. You see that one you got me on. I was doing well until you mentioned
Anne Hathaway's his wife or something. It came out a couple of years ago. He was nominated for it. New York is corrupt. I think that's in Philadelphia. Whatever. Yeah, yes. I don't know much about the building. What about the building?
Okay, so New York City Hall is located between Broadway and Park Row in Manhattan. It was built in 1812. Okay, which is an interesting idea. You know, that
The War of 1812?
it was built during the War of 1812. That's the
There
crazy
you
thing about it. I mean, it took them 9 years to make it, you know, to build it. They were building it from 1803. They didn't know that there was going to be, you know, a war coming out, you know, a
Hey,
few
guys,
years
we're done.
later.
Oh, hey, there's a war breaking out. Ah, crap.
That's
Dang
right.
it. I was going to kick my feet up. Now I got to go to war.
That's right. So the building basically houses the mayor of New York, and they have the chambers of the city council there. And there are 13 municipal agencies that are also located right nearby. This building itself is considered a historic landmark, and so which basically means they can never you know, break it down.
It would take a couple decades later when one mayor, Rudy Giuliani,
I'm not
would
talking
say
about I'm not I'm talking about physically. I'm not talking about morally
Well,
or anything like
physically,
that. Yeah.
metaphorically, I'm just gonna put it out there that
Okay, but
friction
we
will
don't talk
loosen.
politics here. We stay as far away from politics as
Okay.
possible. It doesn't matter, you know, we all are entitled to our political opinions, but
We're
here we're talking
all
about
in,
Die Hard, you know.
fictional mayor Judy Buliani
Exactly.
destroyed the
I don't care what you think about Rudy Giuliani at all. I mean, we even had a line a few weeks ago about Trump. So, you know, and we dealt with it. And we dealt with it. We didn't talk about Trump. It doesn't matter your politics, whatever. The movie you're thinking of is Dark Waters with Mark Ruffalo.
Dark Waters, that's what it was. Yes, it was. That's what it
That's
was.
right. Where
It was
and you were
Pitts
correct. He
Curtis.
was married in that movie to Anne Hathaway.
The great Anne Hathaway, Arsenal fan just like
The
me.
late great Anne Hathaway.
Late grade? What? She's not
No,
dead.
not sorry, not Anne. Oh my God,
Did you just
I
kill Anne
didn't.
Hathaway? Wait a minute, what happened?
For some reason, my mind was Anne Hesh. Sorry. Oh my God, I can't believe I just said
Just killed
that.
Anne Hathaway.
I meant Anne Hesh.
And it was not his fault. He was not. He mixed you up with a chick from 6 Days, Seven Nights. She's an Arsenal fan. I'm an Arsenal fan. It's okay, Anne. You're alive and well. I hope you're living a lovely life.
Yes, I apologize. Oh my God, I can't believe I just said
Holy
that. That was it.
Jesus! I'll say,
And
wait, what? How long was I gone? What time? What day is it?
I know that I'm 7 hours in the future, but that doesn't change anything. Everything's
Do you
this.
know something? Have you put out a hit on Anne Hathaway?
No, I have
She should be
not.
gone by the time this left.
Yes. I once again, I apologize for that. I meant Anne Hesh, not Anne Hathaway, a different Anne, a different actress. I can't believe I did that. You see,
Oh, now
but
every time I
DJ
see
called me
Anne,
out on it.
every
There
time I
you
see Anne Hathaway, I'm gonna be like, I remember that time you got killed. You
Okay,
got
you
killed
can.
premeditatedly.
That's right. So if you know her, you're more than welcome to invite her to come on the show. You know,
Please. I will be back on the show because she's not ugly.
I'm
She's very
willing. I'm
beautiful.
willing to have her on the show to prove that you know
She's
that
alive.
she's still
Yeah, I don't
alive.
believe you're alive, Anne. Come on the show and to prove that you're alive.
That's right. That is correct. Okay, so New York City Hall is referenced and shown in a whole bunch of movies and TV shows. So, for instance, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, you know, has shots of New York City Hall.
I forgot about that.
The TV show Spin City takes place
Yes, of
there.
course, yeah. Michael J.
As we mentioned, we have the movie from 1996, City Hall, with Al Pacino and John Cusack.
John Cusack, yeah.
Ghostbusters obviously
Of course.
has scenes in the mayor's office where
With
he summons them.
the greatest joke in cinema history takes place inside of New York City Hall
There you
in
go.
Ghostbusters Part One. I love that joke. That's my favorite joke of all time.
And
I won't say it here. It's
obviously,
very dirty. It's a very dirty joke.
yes, this man has no penis.
Yes, that one. That was
I knew
fantastic.
this what you were talking about, DJ. Come
That's my favorite joke of any movie ever. It's that one. That is my favorite joke.
Are you serious?
Yes, it's true.
Where's Leslie Nielsen when you need him? Yeah, you know, Leslie Nielsen would have been perfect for that line.
Oh my God.
Yes, I'm serious, and
If you
stop calling me
put
Shirley.
if you drop Leslie if we could retroact if we had a time machine and I could like put Leslie Nielsen in Ghostbusters, are we talking like the greatest film ever? is this the greatest movie ever made by mankind?
There you go.
Is Martin Scorsese holding his two fingers together going, cinema? Is he doing that when he's watching? Jesus, oh, what a thought. Leslie Nielsen and Ghostbusters. That's like an atom bomb meeting another atom bomb. It's a fantastic. Anyway.
Yeah. Okay, so back to talking about stealing City Hall. Yes. And at this point, John just comes to a realization. Like, he's looking around and he's like, okay, maybe there's something to what this kid is saying. And then I just love how he just picks up and steals the kid's bike. This is
the motif thing, though. This is the quintessential John McClane realization moment. It's in all of it's in the first Die Hard when he sees the plastique.
Yeah.
It's in Die Hard 2 when he gets the blank. Do this Michael Bay Triple H WWE camera movement meme that he's like, what? And the music hits, and then you're right. He steals children's bicycles.
That's right. He steals the kid's bike. He just picks the kid's bike off of the ground and turns to Zeus and says to him, come on, let's go. Come on. And the kid goes, my bike. And he goes, yo, that's my bike. And Zeus, the two of them start riding off. And I never caught this line that Zeus says until I was doing my research right now. Zeus goes, yeah, it's Christmas. Such a great, great line.
When you gave me the clip, I remember this. This is one of my favorite films. But like, you don't recollect the small things like you're just talking about. I remember them taking the bikes, but I don't remember them being angry about it. I think I was watching them on the bikes. I thought in my brain that the kids didn't even see them take it, but now I watch it again. Well, they were really pissed that they took their bikes.
That's right.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Okay, so as they're starting to drive away, right away on the bikes, okay, did you notice there's a little store behind them?
What's it called?
Okay.
Is it a little Easter eggy store?
Is it a little what? Is it an Easter eggy store? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Okay. So I was able to figure out what the name of this store is because on the awning, it says Truth, Justice, and the Comics. And I was like, that's so weird. That is such a – first of all, that's a great
Justice
name.
Justice and the Comics.
Yeah, and it says under it frozen yogurt, ice cream, egg creams, coffee, cigarettes, soda, candy. You know, it's like a candy store. So why is it mentioning comics? Like, it didn't make any sense to me. So I went to go look up the line of Truth, Justice, and the Comics, and apparently – there is I guess you could sort of call it a bodega or a candy shop, whatever, called Ray's Candy Store, the New York newspaper Newsday, this was their motto, Truth, Justice, and the Comics. And this store decided to use that as their motto for the store. Okay. And they had it on their awning. Okay.
That's
and
pretty cool.
Yes. So this is a store that was located in the East Village, and they ended up closing up around 2010. But before they closed up, they had there was an article that I found about the owner of the candy store on his 78th birthday. Okay. This was an article in the newspaper. It says Ray's candy store owner gets striptease for his 78th birthday. Okay, this was on February 1st, 2010. I'm just going to quickly read this article. It's a one paragraph article, but it's hilarious.
Please do.
Okay,
please do.
It was in the Gothamist. I think that's the name of the local newspaper. It said, last night Ray Alvarez, who owns the Essential Avenue A Hole in the Wall Ray's Candy Store, celebrated his 78th birthday with the usual pomp and circumstance. A striptease performed in his honor on the shop's counter. Any senior citizen with a weaker constitution might have had a stroke right there. But Alvarez is a survivor. On his 77th birthday last year, he was over 2 months behind on his $3,000 a month rent, and the building's managing agent was threatening to evict him. But Ray has successfully held on for yet another year, and his goal of keeping the East Village Institution open until his 80th birthday seems much more plausible. With so much in the neighborhood now catering to the undead yuppie scum, this little joint, opened since 1974, is one of the last remaining businesses with real character, a direct link back to the notorious Avenue A of yore. They make a great milkshake too. So we're blown out a virtual candle and wishing for Ray's wish to come true. Okay.
So, I like milkshakes.
Yeah. And so then you can read the comments. There are 13 comments on this article. Happy birthday, Ray, and may you have many more to come. Vivian, amazing picture. Congrats. I guess Vivian's the name of the stripper.
Sure.
Speaking of milkshake, I'll take the one in the second pick.
Wow.
Happy birthday, Ray.
I mean, they just set themselves up for that one.
That's right. Happy birthday, Ray. This is one of the best traditions in the EV East Village, and I look forward to many more years of Ray's egg creams and Belgian fries.
Sure. That's what you're looking forward to.
Come on.
I press X to doubt on that one.
Here's another one. Come on. The real question is, did he tap that ass or what?
Wow. Okay. Well, there's no... Don't stand on subtlety or anything.
That's right. Another one is, I hope she took a shower right after sitting on that counter.
Well,
someone else says, so did she buy any candy or what? It's the hipster paparazzi. Undead yuppie scum comment brought to you by the pot. She was awesome and fun. I hope Ray has many more strippers and birthdays.
That's a good thing to wish on somebody.
Undead yuppie scum. Yep. The yuppies have taken the East Village for ourselves. Tough. Next stop, Williamsburg.
Okay.
So it's just really funny that they had this whole thing. Now, it's just great. I mean, I found a picture of it also, that someone did a mural of it and all this stuff. So it's great. And as they're
location
driving.
Location scout was probably like, oh, we got to shoot in front of here.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
No, but I love the motto, truth, justice in the comics. That's just, that's just great. You know, the way that they do that. And as they're driving away, we see there's another store right next door to them called Alphabets. And so Alphabets actually just closed in 2020. So after 35 years on Avenue A, Alphabets has left the East Village. The owner decided to move the novelty gift shop to Palm Springs, California, where there won't be a physical New York City presence.
That's a little bit of a difference from Palm Springs to New York. That's where my co-host lives, in Palm Springs. So yeah, good on them.
Yeah, but you think after 35 years, I guess she wants to retire to Palm Springs to a warmer climate or something
like
that. That's
probably what it is. Yeah.
But I know that's just great. So basically, we see both John and Zeus get on these bikes, and you got to give Samuel L. Jackson a lot of credit. He's able to ride this bike one-handed.
It's true.
Because he's holding on to the prop,
the briefcase,
bomb,
yeah.
as he's doing that.
How old is Sam Jackson at this point, too? He's probably, what, in his 50s at this point?
No, he's not even 50 yet. He was born in, I believe he was born in 48, 47, 48, okay. Something like that. So that means that in 95, 40s, he's mid to late 40s at this point.
Okay.
He hasn't reached 50 yet.
Because how many takes you think he did on that bike is what I'm asking.
Knowing Samuel L. Jackson, this was the only take he did.
Golf course somewhere around this area.
That's right. And as they're riding away, the kids start throwing all these bags of candies at them.
That's because they're so pissed off. That part I did not remember. I was like watching it. I was like, oh, yeah, they were very angry and interesting.
That's right. And then Zeus screams at John. He goes, hey, where are you going? Yankee Stadium's that way. And he like moves his head in the other direction. And then one of the kids screams, that's my bike, you ass. And John basically just ignores him. And the shot changes, and we see the two of them still riding. Now they're going downhill somewhere. And as they get almost to a a crossroad, we see a dump truck, go by him really, really closely. And then John screams, why don't you just run over everybody in the whole street?
Why'd you just run over by the whole street? I love that. His delivery. Bruce Willis was on top form in this. The writing in this movie, the lines, the throwaway lines for me just make me laugh.
Yes.
Why you just run over by the whole street?
That's right.
Which comes back later. That line comes back later. But that moment comes back later because Sam says, you were almost run over by a dump truck. They say that a little bit later in the film.
Yeah, exactly. Well, later they do it sort of with a car, but it's a little different. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And at this point, you know, Zeus just starts screaming and goes, McLean, what the fuck are we doing back down here?
Good old Sam.
That's
nobody,
right.
nobody in the on God's green earth can drop that F bomb better than that man Samuel no, Jackson.
Nobody. It really is
nobody can.
That's right. And I love the fact that when John is screaming at the dump truck, you know, the bikes just disappear. They just leave him on the ground. They just drop him on the ground and that's
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
So it's very funny. And at this point, you know, John then starts looking around and he goes, let me ask you something. What is it that Wall Street doesn't have? And then he just looks at him and goes, what? Is this stuff catching? You talking in riddles. Catching.
I love that. That's a great line too.
Is this stuff catching? That's right. He goes, no, stay with me. What is it that Wall Street does not have? And he goes, what? And, you know, it made me think, say what again? Say what? Say what again?
This is the reunion to that.
Sort of. I mean, they didn't.
Sort of, pseudo.
They never had any scenes together in Pulp Fiction, right. But still, you know.
They were in one room together, technically, for like 15 seconds, and that was it.
That's right. That's right. And you don't even know their connection at that point because it's right at the beginning of the movie. You know?
Right.
And then John goes, schools. And what is it they have a shit of? And then he goes, what? So here again, say what again? And I love
never,
the fact
he
that
never
they
answers the question,
but they keep the it, but they do it visually. But they do it visually because you know we see that Zeus is confused, but then the shot shows us the building of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. You know, so it that's basically the answer for us. And we see what John is looking at. He's looking there.
Right. In the modern day, he'd have to sit there for 20 seconds explaining it. I'm like, man, this is how you tell a story. You don't have to, right there, boom, Federal Reserve Bank. Now, if you don't know what a Federal Reserve Bank is, you know what a bank is.
That's right.
So you might not know it's what's in it that we find out later, but that's you right. know it's got some kind of cash in it. So you don't have to have John to go to Zeus and go, well, the Federal Reserve Bank was formed. Which we would get today, we would get that because studio execs are so afraid of the audience having to play catch up. They want everything spelled out. So all John says to him is, I'll be right back. Or stay right, right here or something like that.
That's right. No, and then he says to him, he says, I'll be back in a minute. And he goes, what am I supposed to do with this? And he holds up the bomb and he goes, and then he sees like these three cops on the side and he goes, give it to those guys over there.
Which seems very irresponsible still.
Yeah, exactly. But I still like the way that they play out this whole scene. You know, it's done really well because again, it's very visual in the way that they do it. And you know, as you said, nowadays they wouldn't do it this way in a movie.
They would spell it out big time.
Yeah,
they would literally have a powwow to talk about it. Which one you think they're gonna be in, Johnny? Which bank do you? Just John's playing a hunch. Let him play the hunch out. And he wouldn't say it verbally. He's literally just going, you see the gears in his head. When he says City Hall, you see the gears in his head spin. And in here, you see the gears in his head spin. But he was kind of thinking it, and then he was like, wait. That was like the final puzzle piece, is the shot of the Federal Reserve Bank. It's like, oh, that he knows something's up, but he's like 98% sure something's up in this area. So yeah, I really like this. This film is very slept on in terms of writing and directing because it wasn't intentionally. You probably talked about it before. It wasn't originally a Die Hard movie. I think it was something, and they changed it into a Die Hard movie.
No, it was originally a standalone, and then they wanted to to make it part of the Lethal Weapon franchise, which I'm very glad they didn't.
Right, that's what it was. Yeah.
And
yeah,
then thank and God. Then afterwards, yeah, exactly. And then they made the right choice of putting it here. You know, this yeah. works really well. And again, as we've been talking about the script every single episode, the script has so many differences between the original script of, right. of Simon Says and this movie, which is great to see. You know, which we'll get yes. to some of them shortly. So, I mean, that's how this minute ends. You have anything else you want to say about this minute?
Just don't rob City Hall. Yeah, everybody work on your City Hall impersonation. That's right. You can rob City Hall.
Exactly. All right. So the script is slightly different here. It's expanded a little more, which is nice. But we'll see right. what you think about it. So McLean yells at the kid and says, "Watch your mouth. Ever hear it's against the law to steal?" Kid goes, "Not today, it ain't. Look around, man. There are no cops in the city." Two police cruisers race past on Fifth Avenue, sirens blaring. "There's a fire someplace or something's going on." Then the second kid goes, "It's Christmas. Today you can steal anything you want." Close on McLean. The wheels are spinning again. He's been here before, and now he comes to a decision. McLean grabs kid number two by the collar and lifts him off the bike. He hands Zeus kid number two's bike. He picks up kid number one's bike off the sidewalk. Then with the Samsonite briefcase in hand, he pedals off down the sidewalk heading south. McLean says, "Come on." Kid number one outraged. "Hey, he's stealing my bike." Zeus turns to the shocked kids and smiles. "It's Christmas. You can steal anything you want." And Zeus pedals off after McLean, leaving the kids on the sidewalk staring slack-jawed. Zeus pedals up to McLean. "What the hell? Where the hell are you going?" McLean says, "Wall Street." "What about the library?" So just to point out to you and anyone who doesn't remember from the script, the next clue was not Yankee Stadium in the script. It's you have to get something from the library. Exactly.
Right, right.
So McLean goes, "We'll get there. I got a hunch." "Work with me on this." McLean pedals on down the sidewalk. Zeus, scowling, pedals after him. A small street perpendicular to Wall Street. McLean and Zeus pedal down Christopher Street, stopping at the intersection of Christopher and Wall Street. McLean dismounts his bike. The last of Simon's dump trucks is lumbering past McLean and Zeus, moving east. Zeus and McLean take no notice. Zeus looks up to his right. The Wall Street subway station is three blocks away. The two fake cops, Simon's men, are standing guard. McLean looks around. His brow is furrowed. He is thinking a mile a minute, and he turns 180 degrees, panning 180 degrees from Wall Street, looking west, to Wall Street, looking east. The New York Federal Reserve Building looms up about three blocks east, a grand marble-pillared building. McLean's eyes glint, and now he thinks he's onto something. McLean points at the Federal Reserve. "See that building down there?" "Yeah." "Here. Hand Zeus the Samsonite briefcase. Go get those two cops. Tell them to meet me in the lobby." "McLean, would you tell me what the f—" "I don't know myself." "Just do it, Zeus. Humor me for 5 minutes." McLean walks towards the Federal Reserve. Zeus frowns, exasperated, and walks towards the subway. So I like the way they did in the movie a little better.
Yeah, here's the thing about that. One thing I just noticed from what you read is that the greatest line in this minute is ad-libbed by the child who says City Hall, which is not in the script. And if McLean got his way, he would have, in spoiler to a little bit, a couple minutes later, the odds would have been more against him because he wanted Zeus to bring the cops. If the cops would have went, there's that many more cops going to the bank. And as we know, they're not cops. They're Simon's men. So he didn't say in the movie, "Zeus, go get the cops." He just says, "Drop the briefcase off." Briefcase off. But if he said, "Bring the cops, meet me in the lobby," then it would have been everybody in the Reserve Bank, who are Simon's men, and all those cops, who are Simon's men, and McLean.
Yeah, that's okay. We know that McLean would have gotten out of it anyway. You know.
Somehow. I mean, you're adding, what, three or four more cops to the situation? Or
you don't have faith in McLean?
We're going to get to it, but he was kind of in a precarious position. So, no, I don't know if he would have got out of that situation.
Well, you know, we'll get there on Friday.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
Exactly. All right. So every Monday we have a segment called the McTiernan Monday, where my guests will give their top five John McTiernan directed films. You only have 11 to choose from, but you know, I have faith that you've seen at least five of them, DJ.
This is the easiest top five list I have maybe been given in the history of top five lists, because I am a huge, huge fan of John McTiernan, mainly because my favorite movie of all time, was directed by John McTiernan. So, easy number one
is Die Hard. Well, no, but you got to start with number five.
Let's start with number five. Okay, well, then we all know Die Hard's number one. It's like, it's not even a joke. It's whatever. We'll start from the bottom. So, you know, Die Hard's number one. We'll work our way up. Number five, I was kicking it around back and forth, and I was, this is purely out of enjoyment why it's not number four. Number four is, you'll see. I'm going to go Hunt for Red October is number five. This movie's fantastic. I love this movie. This is Jack Ryan, not John McClane. Jack Ryan, played by Alec Baldwin. You got Sean Connery, Sam Neill, Scott Glenn. Darth Vader's in this movie for some reason. There's a whole bunch of people pop up. Fantastic movie. This is where they do the cool shot.
Pennywise.
Where Pennywise the Clown is in this movie. Who else we got kicking around here? Duncan Idaho from the original Dune is in this movie for 5 seconds. It's a whole bunch of stuff. But there's a they're speaking in Russian, and they do the little zoom in. And
I love that.
And which is taken from another movie. I think, I can't remember the name of it, but it's where they, once you do a little zoom, you know that every time they're talking, because they zoom in when they're speaking Russian, and they zoom out, they're speaking English. So when you see them speaking English, the Russian, because you realize they're speaking Russian, but this for the audience sake, they have, which is a very cool and interesting way to do it, which I think they did in I think McTiernan said he got it from some other film. I cannot remember the name of it. Path to Glory. I can't remember. Nuremberg, something to that effect. But yes, I like this movie very much so. It kind of really picks up near the end. So me, I love long. I don't mind long movies when the writing is really good and the acting is really good. But I know people might find the first 20 to 30 minutes of this movie slow. The CGI kind of doesn't hold up that much, but it's still fantastic. In terms of McTiernan movies, others on this list are just higher for me. So, yes. Number five, Hunt for Red October. Number four, I got to go Thomas Crown.
First of all, the switch in Hunt for Red October, when they switch from Russian to English, is during the word Armageddon, which is the same in both languages.
Oh, very good. Ooh, that's even cooler. Ooh, that's even cooler. I forget where he said he stole it, but got the idea from. But it's a black and white film. Anyway, my number four is I'm going to go Thomas Crown Affair, the remake with Pierce Brosnan, Renee Zellweger, Dennis Leary. I'm probably forgetting somebody else. But that movie was cool. It felt like, because this is kind of the first time, other than Remington Steele, Pierce Brosnan not being Bond, this being kind of like a Bond-like character, but more mischievous. So I like it. It's very well shot. Dennis Leary is really, really good in this movie, by the way. Renee Zellweger, fantastic in this movie. The cinematography is fantastic. The direction is fantastic. The heist is fantastic. This is pre-Ocean's 11, so this is kind of like, this was my heist movie for a very long time. Like, I want to watch a cool heist movie. I pop on Thomas Crown.
What do you mean? Die Hard is a heist movie.
Sure. Okay, this is a heist movie that doesn't involve heavy machine guns in action. I see
Die Hard. Meaning a heist movie that starts out as a heist movie.
Right. Die Hard is an action movie with a heist in it. Thomas Crown is a heist movie. Full, you know, trying to figure out how he's going to do it. That's the way they did it with it. And every time I see that painting, the guy with the bowler cap and the apple, Thomas Crown pops immediately in my head. So, yes, Thomas Crown. I think I prefer it more than the Faye Dunaway one. Well, I think it has a cameo in it.
Steve McQueen. Come on. What do you mean
Faye Dunaway? I think that one's a little bit more slow to me. It's still good. It's just compared to Thomas Crown. It's just the way the remake that flies. It's just, it doesn't stop. So, yeah.
Okay.
Number three?
Three.
It's easily Die Hard with a Vengeance. It's the final Die Hard movie. I'm happy that they never made another Die Hard movie after this one because it ends on a high note. They never thought, hey, we should go back to the well and make a movie with McClane after this one. They go, no, we end it right here. They never made another Die Hard movie after this one, and this is a great way to end it. Fantastic film, great feeling, call back to the original, even had Holly mention I liked it. So, yes, Die Hard with a Vengeance, the final Die Hard movie. Thank you, John McTiernan, for ending Die Hard's for three movies the way it should have been with a third one. Number two.
Right. But DJ, but DJ will probably be back in two seasons for season nine.
Nope.
Where we might talk about a Die Hard adjacent movie called Live Free or Die Hard. Maybe.
I've never seen it. No, we'll pass on. Number two, come on. If it bleeds, we
if
can
it
kill
bleeds,
it.
We can kill it. I knew you were going to say that.
I mean, it stuck us in the meat grinder. Some son of a bitch could accuse you of being the best. Shooting the jungle for 15 minutes. Just shooting the jungle. The biggest FU to ecology you've ever seen in one scene ever is this, the whole Dutch's unit just destroying a jungle. Trying to kill one man who they think is a man who is not a man, it's an alien. The only flaw of this movie, there's only one flaw I've ever seen of Predator. It's they should have never, ever shown the spaceship in the beginning. If they never showed a spaceship in the beginning, you are in it, make it more the perspective of Dutch in the unit. You can keep the heat vision, but just don't show the spaceship.
Right.
You could think it's like that movie, it would be perfect. It's still freaking amazing, and it holds up to this day. It's just, man, every time I watch it, they show the space, I'm like, they should have never shown that. That is clearly a studio note saying, we gotta know it's an alien. No. The fact that the movie starts off like this commando movie, and then halfway through it turns into a horror thriller is fantastic. Predator is awesome. It's
I think the mistake is they made more movies in the franchise. That's what I think.
My co-host Matthew, he loves Predator 2. I don't mind Predators. I don't mind that movie because it's different. It's kind of like the Terminator Salvation of the Predator franchise. But I think this movie is literally a perfect movie other than that one shot. If you don't have that one shot, this is maybe Arnold's one of his best acting performances. And this is early in his career. Who else we got? We got Carl Weathers, the late great. You got
Shane Black.
Shane Black in there for 5 seconds with Sergeant Rock comic book. You got Jesse the Body Ventura. The
buckets Bill,
of steroids.
What's the guy's name? Bill
Duke is in there. Bill Duke. Breaking razor blades on his cheekbones because he's so roided up. The entire movie, everybody is roided to the gills. And the whole premise is we get the biggest action stars ever. And what would scare them? That's the whole movie. You got to put something that would scare them, which also makes the Predator terrifying. This movie scared the crap out of me when I was little because I watched it way too young. I think I was 9 years old when I saw Predator, and it terrified me. So, yes, fantastic. When I got older, I was like, this movie is still fantastic. It's amazing. Predator is almost a perfect film. The only movie that's more perfect than it is Die Hard. Die Hard is the greatest action movie of all time, John McTiernan's greatest work. It's magnum opus. It's fantastic. It's his ode to joy. Ironically, it's the greatest action film ever. Every action film, probably up to Mad Max Fury Road, is measured to Die Hard. Is it better than Die Hard? No, it's a great action. Was it better than Die Hard? If it's not, then it's not. You know what I'm saying? The only movie that can hold a candle to Die Hard to me is Mad Max Fury Road. Everything else pales in comparison. So
really?
Die Hard. Yes. If we're playing poker and you have your John Wicks, which I love, or your anything, your Michael Bay Armageddons and your Bad Boys, and you put your chips in the table, and I got a Die Hard hand, I'm going all in. I don't care what you got. Unless you pull a Mad Max Fury Road double aces, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. You can pull your Matrix card. You can pull your little Matrix card because guess what? I can pull Matrix apart, but it's going to be very hard for you to pull Die Hard apart. So yes, Die Hard, all in the greatest John McTiernan movie, the greatest action movie of the 20th century. Yes, Die Hard.
Okay, fair enough. All right, so DJ, would you like to tell everyone where they can find DJ Valentine?
Me personally, you can find me on the streets of New York. Probably by City Hall somewhere. No, I'm going to be...
Asleep at the wheel.
Asleep at the wheel, probably. I'm going to be on Twitter. You can find me at Trying to Be DJV, our show, the Simplistic Reviews podcast. You can search at Simple Tweeters on Twitter or just search Simple Reviews online, and you find our website, our podcast, and all other silly stuff. We've made a whole bunch of... You know, it's funny. I've made Die Hard sketches, but I don't think I've made a Die Hard with a Vengeance sketch.
Well, now is the time.
Now's the time. We've done multiple Die Hard sketches. We've never done a Die Hard with a Vengeance sketch. I got type this down. Continue. I'm just gonna write this down.
All right, you do that. All right. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Around Minute. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on my website, movierobminute.com. Or if you want to send me an email, you can send it to movierobminute@movierob.net. So until tomorrow, yippee-ki-yay.
Yippee-ki-yay.
Johnny comes marching home again. Hoorah, hoorah. We'll give him a hearty welcome then. Hoorah, hoorah. The men will cheer, the boys will shout, the ladies, they will all turn out, and we'll all feel glad when Johnny comes marching home.